Good morning. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jenny Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your lifestyle goddess. We are here to save you from yourself and better your lives. We've all heard about the terrorist attacks in Brussels. Sad, very sad. But the biggest issue about those terrorist attacks, and Jenny will agree with me, is a fact is, how do we portray this to our kids? What sort of long-lasting effect is this going to have to our kids? You're in charge.
Absolutely.
You absolutely, as parents, as mentors, can mold these kids in the proper way. Instead of creating a life of depression for them, a life of anxiety for them, their minds are sponges. Tell me your thoughts, Jenny, of course. Do you agree with me? Of course you do. You always agree with me.
Of course I do. You always agree with me. I don't always agree with you, but on this topic I do. And it is so... I mean, I was just chatting with Dr. Raj before we started the show about how I feel depressed about this topic, because it's depressing, all the things that are going on. I mean, just yesterday in Pakistan, 60 people outside a children's play area in eastern Pakistani city of Lahore were killed, like, because they were celebrating Easter.
It's Lahore.
Easter Sunday. Yeah, and it's so sad. Like, it was mainly children and women. And then, of course, what happened in Brussels last Tuesday. These terrorist attacks are going to just get more frequent. And it's the sad truth. And I feel depressed. Like, I didn't even want a radio show. So how, if you can imagine what our kids feel like. I'm an adult. I'm a grown woman.
You're definitely a grown woman. You're every bit of a grown woman. But here's the deal. I'm glad you let us know how grown you are. But the deal is, those kids, their minds are sponges right now. And, you know, what you have to do is you have to limit the media exposure to these kids. Especially if you have kids under 5 years old, shouldn't even share this with them. You'll scare them. It'll be anxiety, fears. They may exhibit it by not eating, not going to the bathroom, just not sleeping. So, I mean, at this point now, it's up to us to let our kids know. We shield and the negativity of the world to them as it is already. But it really is up to us to take control and make sure we don't create a whole new slew of anxious, depressed kids. Because you're right, Jenny, more and more of these attacks are going to happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you scan the news, they're all, in the health section, they're all about these attacks. How does it, PTSD, how does it affect psychology of our brains? How's it affecting children? And one article that really stood out on CNN is an article on how to talk to your kids about tragic events, and it gives all these tips. Because Dr. Raj, I know you have a little girl, so and
I don't even tell her about the events.
But does she see it on the news? It's all over the news.
No, because she watches cartoons, and I'm not going to show it to her. I think. First of all, let me give you my personal experience. When I was a kid growing up, I feared, actually all of us feared in Canada about the nuclear war. Russia's the fear of Russia, the fear of bombs coming over. And even our stupid teachers would say, oh, we're not going to make it until the year 2000. You know, there's going to be a nuclear attack. And then they describe the types of bombs. And no, I'm serious. So I'm sure it created a severe level of anxiety and control for me, to the point where I thought about shelters. I thought about this. I thought it was crazy. And why do that? Why do that? Because look at us now. I mean, there's so much negativity in the world. Do you want to feed those little minds that are developing with negativity, or do you want to keep them positive? It's up to us. We're causing all this negativity. Humans are horrible in so many different ways, but we do have to protect our kids and we have to protect their little minds. And that's coming from a grown woman too. Just to let you know, Jenny is a grown woman.
I'm a grown woman that has had too many chocolate eggs and eating sugar to deal with my depression around this topic. But yes, so the Cold War, of course, that created a lot of fear. I was in that era too. The difference is that we didn't see a lot of bomb. We didn't see the footage that we're seeing on TV with blood and torn limbs and dead bodies. Like, this is
True.
a modern day war zone on the news. When you go to any news site, it even warns you, graphic images, warning graphic images. So we had the potential of being bombed, but we didn't actually get bombed. We didn't see what our children, in the year 2015 are seeing right now. And I think it's really great, these tips on CNN dot com on how to talk to your kids about these tragic events. And one thing I really, really, really believe is
Is
limit
don't talk to them.
exposure.
Yeah, don't
Don't
talk to
let
them.
them watch this, especially before the age of five. Just like you're not, so you shouldn't let kids watch this horrible, scary
Netflix.
movie. Right, but so they recommend at least if they're five or younger, don't allow them to see these images. These images are harmful and stick in their little minds.
No, you know what? Absolutely true. But, with this news, there's so many morons out there who just will watch this and keep this on their TVs, this news playing over and over again. We're a society that loves negativity. And those kids will be sitting there watching and hearing this bombs, bombs, bombs. Why don't you just turn the channel, put on a cartoon, put on a comedy, Two and a Half Men, something, but get it off the news. So as parents, limit that exposure and also secure, give your kids security, not anxiety or depression. Because I felt that growing up. All I heard about was the Cold War. Heard about it at school, heard about it at home, heard about it on the TV, and no one limited it,
And you
but
lived in Canada, one of the safest places in the world.
yeah, but we all had our bomb shelters too, so it tells you to what degree or our backup plans. I mean, do you remember that song from Ultravox, Dancing with Tears in Your Eyes? Do you remember that song?
I don't.
It's a song about a nuclear bomb blowing up the whole world, and this family is embracing their child, and the end of the video, the whole window blows up. Yeah, it's really depressing. Maybe for the next segment, play the song because it'll jog your memory. But
It sounds a little too depressing for me, Dr. Raj, but I overall agree with what you're saying. We had fear then and we have fear now, but now it's much graphic. Keep the TV exposure limited. But here's the other
cor
thing. When your kids are
correction,
older,
dull, dull, more graphic, not much graphic.
and the thing is, you're annoying today. Okay, the thing is also find humor, right? Like Dr. Raj, just have your own Dr. Raj around to insult you
Yes.
on a regular basis so that you forget what's
'Cause
really going on in real life. But
it's
Dr.
much,
Raj,
much graphic.
what we need to talk about is, I know, can you believe I used to teach English? I make so many grammar, anyway, whole other conversation. But if your kids are older, you can't just sugarcoat it either and be like, oh, you're totally safe, because you have to be real with them. You need to make them feel safe, but at the same time, you need them to be careful and cautious and make good decisions. Like, obviously, if they are in a subway station and they see a guy drop a bag and leave it, what are you going to do? You're going to get the heck out, right? You're going to run away. Like, there are certain things that you could be talking to your child about it's this fine balance with making them feel safe, but also helping them be real.
Yeah, so to summarize, we both agreed, just limit that exposure to your kids. You can turn off the TV, you can turn off the, take away the newspapers, stop talking to your friends about depressing topics. That's what people do. They tend to brood on it and be positive. And it'll be better for your kids. They won't grow up anxious and depressed. Stay tuned for our next segment when we talk about one of my favorite athletes and his decision of keeping a contract or ending his life, and also Jannie's recommendations on how to stay married.
13
or get
questions
married. Good morning. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jannie Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combining with your lifestyle goddess. We are here to save you from yourselves and better your lives. We talked about your kids and how you really have to watch your kids. Keep them away from this negativity that's in the news, especially with the Brussels bombings and the terrorist attacks that are happening, by limiting the amount of...
Hello?
Very important. Right, Jannie? Hello?
Oh, yes. Definitely. We have to keep our children safe, not only from terrorists, but from what they see on TV, for sure.
I know. And you know, we've got a very interesting topic coming up. Many of you follow NBA and know about Chris Bosh, who's a superstar. He's an all-star basketball player. He's with the Miami Heat. Now, he has a decision to be made. He's developing these blood clots in his legs, and it's just because of he's prone to it. He was on blood thinners, but here's the deal. He's got a huge contract. He's got the decision to keep on playing or to stop playing and lose his contract. What would you do? Would you play for a couple years, risk getting a blood clot, losing your life, making $5 to $10 million, or not play and lose that opportunity
to
make that sort of money?
What's the blood clot from? What's the blood clot from?
Well, what happens is some of us are prone to forming it. So for some people, they have these deficiencies, a factor 5, factor 8 deficiencies, that make you more prone to forming clots. The second factor is basketball is a very intense sport. So any sort of trauma or damage, overuse, increased activity, which is all basketball players, can lead on to you forming blood clots. So it's a catch 22. I mean, what he has to go on for the rest of his life is a blood thinner. It's akin to warfarin, rat poison. He has to take that for the rest of his life. If you're on a blood thinner, you can't play competitive sports, because any sort of head injury means you'll bleed into your head. Now, what's more, my question is, for the audience, for yourself, I mean, what's more important, those few years of that potential of making that income or risking your life?
So are you saying that the chances of him getting, what is the percentage of the chances of him getting a blood clot if he continues to play? Like 90%?
The chances
like
of,
what's your...
100%. So the chances of him getting a blood clot, if he continues playing, is 100%. And he can't play on blood thinners, because any sort of minor hit means that he's at major risk of bleeding. So he just can't play anymore. It's crazy.
Well, it's obvious, Dr. Raj, what the correct answer is. It's obvious that he you definitely keep on playing and makes all that money, right?
Yeah, I'm asking you that. I mean, seriously, in that position, you've got the potential to
it's
set
obvious.
yourself. It's called
No,
playing
to
Russian
me,
roulette.
there is no question what the right answer is. I was being sarcastic.
No,
You
I thought
don't
you were
gamble.
kind
You're
of a. I'm kind of leaning towards that opposite side of taking that risk. I mean, look at these.
No way.
His income potential in those few years is going to equal multiples more of whatever he could make in the rest of his life on his next leg on what he's going to do.
And that's awesome from enjoying it from heaven when you're not even on planet Earth to enjoy it because you are dead. Come on. You've already made millions and gazillions of dollars. Why risk it? Like your body, his body is obviously saying, dude, cut it out. No more. You're done. It's time to take a break. Do something else. And if he continues not to listen to his body, unfortunately, his body may do something that could be life-threatening.
Like what? No, I
Like,
actually.
get a blood clot and die. Come on.
Yeah, that's the risk, but it's such a crazy scenario because I'm sure this goes through a lot of players' minds. I just got to do it. I'm just going to take that chance. I'm sure it goes through a lot of players' minds. Now, the limiting factor here, realistically, is the league and also the doctors. None of the doctors are going to approve this. So the reality is, of course, he's not going to play. But it's such a sin to actually have a career end just spontaneously because you're a blood clot former.
Well, what would you do?
I would try and play.
I thought this morning you told me you wouldn't. Are you serious? Are you totally changing your mind, or is this
I'm
something that I
going
just
back and
completely
forth on
misheard
this.
you?
This is a
Dr.
tough one.
Ross, this is not the message we want to be sending our young listeners who are listening right now. You're basically telling Bobby, John, and Nancy, and Jane out there, all these little kids that, hey, you should still play sports for the money, even if your health is at risk. Really?
Not
Come
even
on.
for the money. It's for the mindset. It's for the rush. I mean, you're.
BS. BS. It's totally for the money. Don't tell me it's for the mindset and the rush.
I
Come
know. I'm
on.
trying to be devil's advocate here. It's a tough one.
Well, you're not doing a good job. You need to switch over to my side.
Oh God, it really is. I get it, and football players. Okay, they're those football players. Same deal. They get these concussions, and they've got these severe symptoms, but they don't tell anyone. They just hide it.
Absolutely. And that movie that came out that was so controversial, remember in December with
Will, yeah.
Will Smith, right?
Yeah,
Like, I mean, just an
nicest guy too.
eye-opener. Will Smith said, I'm not going to have my sons play football. His eyes were open.
Yeah, but what about the kid? The kid's actually a star. This is coming from a guy who can't play football. If you have that opportunity to be a star at something and you've got to rush beyond belief, that's a completely different scenario. We could sit as little minions in the audience saying, "Yeah, don't play football." But it's a bigger decision in that mind of that kid.
Well, yeah, but whatever. Like, how many of those kids are actually playing professional football? Like,
Yeah,
go
you
play
got a point.
soccer. Go play soccer.
Oh, soccer. Soccer's not a sport.
Oh, please. It's just the most popular sport in all the world, Dr. Roz.
Oh,
Hello,
God.
World Cup. There's a reason why it's the most popular sport
You
in all the world.
just like watching those little men run
I
around.
absolutely love the hot soccer players. I'll be the first to admit.
Okay, so we agree to disagree, but I kind of agree on this one. But
No, we need to. No, the issue is do not play a sport if your health is at risk. Bottom line,
and
period. There, this
also,
is not rocket science.
keep your kids away from negativity and stay tuned for our next segment when we talk about Jannie and her tips about marriage and how to stay married.
13 questions.
Oh, God.
Good morning. Welcome to Dr. Raj and Jenny Rude Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your grown-up lifestyle goddess. We are here to save you from yourselves and better your lives. How's my grown-up lifestyle goddess?
Very grown-up. So much so grown-up.
That you're getting married.
Yes, and I'm getting married, right? And what's so interesting is that three people sent me this article, and I skimmed it. I didn't really pay attention. It's this article in the New York Times that says the 13 questions to ask before getting married. So I skimmed it. I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't really pay attention. And then my fiance, Lewis, at brunch yesterday was like, oh, I have this article. We should answer these questions together. And at first I was like, whatever. I don't want to do this. This is stupid. But then we went through these questions and we totally got in a fight. And
why did he recommend it?
Well, these are questions around you should know your partner before you get married, because obviously the divorce rate is insane. You know, it's crazy, like a little bit over 50%. And so to minimize divorce, if you ask these questions. So I'm going to ask these questions to you, Dr. Raj. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's see if you and I would be compatible if we were going to get married.
And we'd be compatible if you listen to me.
Yeah. All right, I already see issues here. And you listening, if you're in a relationship, think about what your answers would be to these questions as well. Because you might learn something about yourself and your partner and maybe your future spouse. So number one, did your family throw plates, calmly discuss issues, or silently shut down when disagreements rose?
Throw plates.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, we yelled.
You guys threw angry. Plates?
Not threw plates, but it wasn't calm.
It wasn't calm?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow, okay. What did y'all throw?
It's not throwing, but it was like a lot of words and a lot of yelling.
Okay, yeah, but there's a difference between, that's every family. A lot of yelling, okay. A lot of words. That's what happened in my family, but we didn't throw plates.
No, we didn't throw plates.
Okay, question two. Will we have children, and if we do, will you change diapers? Obviously, this article was written by a woman.
Yes, we'll have children, and yes, I will change diapers.
Okay, and ding, ding, ding. That's a good answer, Dr. Raj.
I know.
All right, question number three. Will our experiences with our exes help or hinder us?
Help.
How?
Knowing not to make the same mistakes.
Very good. What, can you give me an example?
Communication. Communication is very important.
Can you give me an example of a specific ex from your life that taught you something?
I shouldn't have communicated with her.
See what?
No, I shouldn't have kept contact with her.
Oh, well, that's not a good... Okay. All right, well, I do agree that exes should help, not hinder. See,
yeah,
these are kind of leading questions, too, because you know what the right answer is. If you say that they're going to hinder, it's like a red flag. So,
right.
If they're a little, you know, the questions definitely lean towards a better answer. Okay, number four. This is the one that my fiance and I got in a fight about.
Okay.
How important is religion? How will we celebrate religious holidays, if at all?
There's no importance to religion. And you can respect religious holidays. You can celebrate it, but there's no, at least on my side, there's no importance to religion.
It's belief in a greater power.
Well, for me, I really love celebrating holidays. I think it's really important for children, and it's an important time for families to get together and really connect and celebrate and honor how grateful they can be. So my fiance was like, well, skiing's my religion, so you're okay if on Christmas Day I check out and go skiing Christmas morning. And I was like, hell to the no. No. I was like, if we have children, you're not going to go skiing on Christmas Day. We will open presents with our child.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's like, we can open presents on Christmas Eve. And I'm like, no.
How old's your fiance? 17?
He's 44. But, you know,
okay.
All men
Bad answer.
Are men minus 20 years. But he was saying that skiing was, so anyway, we came to a healthy compromise. Where we said that our children could open presents first on Christmas Day, and then he could go skiing afterwards. But that's why we got in a big fight.
But
right,
that's silly.
Five.
Silly, silly, silly.
Oh,
okay.
This one we got in a fight, too. Is my debt your debt? Would you be willing to bail me out?
Yes. That's a man's responsibility and a man's duty.
Well, it's a woman. I mean, that's kind of sexist, but
no.
All right.
It's not. It's a man's
it.
Responsibility. Not a woman's.
Right. Well,
it doesn't happen the opposite way. I'm old-fashioned.
You're old-fashioned. There would be probably a lot of feminists listening right now that would disagree with you. But I do think that you do need to work together in partnership around money. The wonderful thing about my fiance is he has no debt. Now, I'm going to be honest. I only have a couple of thousand dollars in debt, which is pretty remarkable considering all the debt that could... Yeah, I have friends that still have like $200,000 in school loan debt. But I don't have a lot of debt. Granted, I don't have a lot to show for it, but I don't have a lot of debt. But he cannot stand having any credit card debt because he just thinks the money sucks. You shouldn't have any credit card debt because every month they are stealing your money.
Oh, he would hate me. He could never marry me.
Well, but in my mind, I'm like, how can I buy the things I want when I don't have enough money to buy them?
Right. Here's my answer. You've got one life to live as Jenny. Why don't you enjoy it instead of worrying about stuff?
I know. I kind of agree with you on that. Number six, what's the most you would be willing to spend on
You guys will never go out and eat. What?
We won't marry. He won't ever. Here, what we learned about that is that my fiance and you will never get married. Okay. Number
yes.
six, how much would you be willing to spend on a car, a couch, or shoes?
I would say even when I was super in debt as a student, I'd spend a shitload on, a load,
Ooh.
I should say, oops load, on shoes. I just love shoes.
Like how much? What's the most you've ever spent on shoes?
500? 700.
Okay. Yeah.
On a couch, I would never spend more than a couple thousand.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Totally. Number eight, do we like each other's parents? You haven't met my parents, even though you would love them, but your wife's parents, do you like her parents, and does she like your parents?
Yeah, I like her parents, but I don't think she really cares about my parents, but...
Oh, really? Why?
But... Yeah, cultural. I mean, it's cultural. I think copacetic. I'm an easier going person too.
Right. Both your parents are Indian, right?
Yeah. So I mean, if you're easier going, you won't take things personally.
Okay.
So I think.
All right. So she doesn't care for him. Okay. Number nine. How important is sex to you?
Very.
Yeah. Exactly. How
did he disagree?
No, we both agree.
Okay.
Number 10, how far should we take flirting with other people? Is watching pornography okay? This is a big deal because you hear a couple breaking up because the partner, the man usually, is always watching like too much pornography. What's your thoughts?
Flirting is very important because
but not
it's...
with other people?
Oh, for sure.
You're saying how? Oh, to make your wife
it's
flirting with other people. I don't get it.
No,
to make
no,
yourself
it's a form
jealous?
Of form of communication. It's an accepted form of communication. We can't help it.
I don't want my fiance.
Do you ever watch the Vikings?
No. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, listen. So
we'll continue to rest on our.
I think for the most part, Dr. Raj, I would say we're 70% compatible. But these are 13 questions to ask before you get married. Bottom line is get to know the person you're marrying. You hear so many times where couples, years after being together, they break up because one partner didn't want to have kids. And the other one was like, I wanted to have kids. Well, why the heck did you not talk about this way back then?
Yep. Stay tuned to our next segment. And remember, terror threats, all of this. Keep your kids protected. And Chris Bosch's decision of DVT, blood clots versus big contract, your health is more important than money. Stay tuned. Good morning. Welcome to the Dr. Raj and Jenny Moon Show. I'm your friendly Beverly Hills orthopedic surgeon combined with your lifestyle goddess. We're here to save you from yourself and better your lives. We talked about terror threats and keeping your kids safe. Don't expose them to negativity. We don't want them to grow up anxious or depressed. You're setting their minds up for now. We talked about Chris Bosch and his big decision. He has a blood clot in his leg that's going to stop him from playing basketball. He's got to forego a huge contract, but to save his life or play with the risk of having a clot or bleeding because he's going to be on medications. And then we also realized that Jenny and I are actually compatible.
Compatible, maybe, to get married. Maybe.
See,
maybe 70%.
See, I know the right answers. It's like kind of a silly question
in
a way.
Because you knew what to say. You knew what the right answers would be. So.
Yeah, after a while, you just get programmed with the right answers. But the point is, everything I said, I agree with in general. And I think I've got different points of views. The skiing aspect, I think you did a pretty good compromise. I mean, if he loves skiing that much, open up gifts for her, celebrate the holidays, and let him ski afterwards. Like it.
Well, good to know, Dr. Bob.
Who's going to be in charge between you two? Who's the alpha?
We are both alphas. We are both
That's a
equal
mistake.
Partners. That's the whole point of being in equal partnership. Yes, I don't believe in just one alpha. No doubt.
Aren't
sometimes
you,
he's alpha, sometimes I am.
Like, who's going to, like, beat someone up when, there's an intruder coming in? Who's going to act
Which
like the man?
Which hopefully never happens. Okay. We have a caller, Nancy. I'm changing the subject. Nancy, what is
yes.
your question for your comment?
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Hey. Well, I was actually originally about, you guys were talking in the first segment, I was listening about the terrorist attacks, but now you're talking about who's the alpha in a relationship, and I have to be on your side, Jenny, because even though I'm the woman in my relationship, I'm definitely the alpha male.
Oh, really? How long have you been in a relationship?
My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost a year now, and we met while he was here on vacation in New York, and then he went back to Paris because that's where he lived at the time that we met, and then we, Skype talked all the time, and then he eventually moved to the U.S. and surprised me here, and ever since then, I've totally been the one that's, like, in control.
Don't you feel sad about that, Nancy?
What
don't
you
want to feel? Don't you feel sad about that, Nancy? Don't you want to feel like a woman?
Sad? What do you mean? How am I less of a woman for being the alpha male?
Exactly. Why is she less of a woman because she's the alpha? That doesn't make any sense.
Why would you not
she
want
is.
A partner to not only help pay the bills equally, but contribute equally to the relationship? She's also taking care of you. It's not just you bringing her flowers and paying for all of her, junk. Like, she's also doing things for you. It's an equal relationship. Everyone benefits equally.
I don't know. That sounds like roommates. You're making it, you know, the old-fashioned view of the man who comes, takes care of all of it, sweeps you off your feet. You know, when there's an issue, you rely on him.
Are you living in the 1950s, Dr. Ross? You know what?
That's how it should be. That's I'm a severely dominant person. I can't imagine an equal partnership. I mean, in every facet of my life, with my friends, with my colleagues, with work, I'm dominant. I just can't imagine being equal, especially in a relationship. Does that mean you guys would go and split the bill like at a restaurant?
Every now and then we do, yeah.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
I've never been the kind of person that was like, oh, I'm just sitting on the side of the road waiting for my Prince Charming to come and pick me up and then do everything for me.
That's because it hasn't happened yet. But when it does happen, you'll wish. You'll never want to be the alpha again.
So she's dependent on a man to totally financially take care of her until he dumps her for some woman that's 20 years younger than her? I don't think so. Nancy's being
smart.
Oh
my God. So,
yeah.
Well, are you like setting up this negativity right away? Come on, you want that Prince Charming?
A strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
Don't need no man. Are you getting your grammar lessons from Jenny?
That's what my mom always taught me, and that's the rule I was fine with dating.
I know, but I think it's nice for women to be taken care of. I think it's nice for women to be nurtured.
It's not everyone's number one priority. I mean,
you know what? I think this is a New York deal. It must be a New York deal.
Where
couples live like roommates.
And in the South, it's all about taking care of women, and I never was about that life.
Yeah, in the West, it's all about taking care of women.
I think in general. In your situation, because your wife is a stay-at-home, does she work or is she stay-at-home?
She works, but I think I'm just so dominant that no matter who it would be, even if it was you on a compatibility scale, you would still succumb to me being the alpha male.
Dr. Raj, you're so the guy that in a dominatrix session is the one that is blindfolded and gagged saying, beat me, beat me.
Oh, my God. I don't see that. I don't see that. Not at all.
I mean, here's my take on it. In every relationship, there's going to be somebody that's more dominant in it, whether it's the male or the female. In mine, it just happens to be me. So in yours, it just happens to be you. And that, if it's working out...
Shoveling snow. Someone's got to shovel the snow. Who's going to shovel?
Whatever. Nancy, you rock. You're the best. I totally agree with Nancy. Nancy, yes, every
Nancy
is different, and it's what works for you. Even though, Dr. Raj, you're living in an outdated way of being in a relationship.
I agree to disagree. Again.
Right now, Lord Farquaad from Shrek, when he's trying to rescue Princess Fiona from the tower, and she's just like, I don't want that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's me. Well, thank you, Nancy, for your input.
Thank you, Nancy.
Remember, terror attacks. We're getting more and more of them. Protect your kids. Those minds are so valuable. And Jenny told us how to stay married forever. Stay tuned for our next show. Thank you.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.